Tape recorded message number TL 550 550. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. In this study, I'm going to attempt something which I've been very hesitant about, but I want to examine the book called The Song of Solomon. I've put this off for a long time. I've kept thinking about it, looking into it, reading the works of others upon it, and I have to agree with Dr. C.I. Schofield, who says in his introduction that nowhere in Scripture does the unspiritual mind tread upon ground so mysterious and incomprehensible as in this book, while the saintliest men and women of the ages have found it a source of pure and exquisite delight. I agree with that, but I do not agree with the interpretations that are commonly set forth. But many years ago, around about the year 1850, there was an interpretation set forth by Dr. D.C. Ginsberg. That has appealed to many, and it was in 1857 that this was set forth. And I want to show you what this book is about, if I can, and help you maybe to, or when you read it, to get just a little better understanding. Of course, when we come to this, the whole thing is in direct speech. And yet, it is very difficult to determine who the speaker is. So difficult that I'll not think it's strange if somebody differs with me and says, no, that's not this one speaking. For there is a dialogue here, but we just can't always tell just who the speaker is at any particular time. Now, I suppose to someone who has the Hebrew mind that could read this in the Hebrew, that this difficulty would not even exist. But it does exist for you and for me, and we want to find some way that we can get more out of it. I will not try to retranslate it. I have worked on many words here where passages were so obscure I couldn't even tell what they were talking about it. But that's the most that I can do with the Hebrew language, is just to work on the individual words and see if I can straighten it out. But when Dr. Ginsberg wrote his commentary on this, and he could read it in the Hebrew, he made this statement, these statements, I should say. And this sets the stage, that is, it sets the characters. And first of all, you have to remember there was a family living at Shulam, S-H-U-L-E-M. And this, apparently, this family consisted of a widowed mother, several sons, and one daughter. And this family maintained themselves by farming and by pasturage, that is, keeping sheep. They did both of these. Now, the brothers were particularly fond of their sister, and they took her under their special care. They promised her that her prudence and virtue should be greatly rewarded by them. You would read about that in the 8th chapter, in the 8th to the 14th verse. Now, in the course of time, while tending the flock, and according to the custom of the shepherds, resorting at noon beneath a tree for shelter against the meridian sun, this girl met with a graceful shepherd youth, to whom she afterward became espoused. Now, this is not called an engagement. This espousal was somewhat equal to marriage, although he had not yet taken her to be his wife, and that was the consummation of marriage. It just did not become public, but they were espoused. We find that as we go on through the book. Now, one morning in the spring, This youth, this shepherd, invited this girl to accompany him into the field. But the brothers, who overheard the conversation, and they were anxious for the reputation of their sister, they sent her to take care of the vineyards, so as to prevent them meeting. And now this girl, however, she consoled her beloved and herself with the assurance that though separated bodily, indissoluble ties subsisted between them, over which her brothers had no control. She requested him to meet her in the evening, and as he did not come, she feared that some accident had befallen him on the way, and she went in search of him and found him. Now, the evening was now the only time in which they could enjoy each other's company, as during the day the damsel was occupied in the vineyard and her lover was occupied looking after the sheep. Now, on one occasion, when entering a garden, she accidentally came in the presence of King Solomon. Solomon happened to be on a summer visit to that neighborhood. He apparently had a summer home there to get away from the heat of Jerusalem, and struck with the beauty of the damsel, for it's evident she was a most beautiful woman, the king conducted her into his royal tent. Some of the scenes will take place in the royal tent. And there, assisted by the court ladies, endeavored with alluring flatteries and promises to gain her affections, as she might become one of his wives, but without effect. So when she was released from the king's presence, the damsel soon sought an interview with her beloved shepherd. We'll read about that when we get into the first chapter. Now the king, however, took her with him to his capital in great pomp, in the hope of dazzling her with his splendor. But neither did this prevail, for while even there she told her beloved shepherd, who had followed her into the capital, and who had obtained an interview with her, that she was anxious to quit the gaudy scene and go to her own home. The shepherd, on hearing this, he praised her constancy. And such a manifestation, their mutual attachment, took place that several of the court ladies were greatly affected by it as they saw her love for the shepherd. Well, the king still determined, if possible, to win her affections. He watched for another favorable opportunity, and with flatteries and allurements, surpassing all that he had used before, tried to obtain his purpose. He promised to elevate her to the highest rank, and to raise her above all his concubines and queens, if she would comply with his wishes. But faithful to her espousal, for she was espoused to this shepherd, she refused all of his overtures, on the plea that her affections were pledged to another. The king, who was convinced at last that he could not possibly prevail, he was obliged to dismiss her, and the shepherdess, in company with her beloved shepherd, returned to her native place. On their way home, they visited the tree under which they had first met, and there they renewed their vows of fidelity to each other. And on her arrival in safety at her home, her brothers, according to their promise, rewarded her greatly for her virtuous conduct. Now this is all found in the contents of the Song of Solomon, and there'll be places in it when statements will be made which really we would put at the very first, but often these are found at the last, and we've got to do the best we can to make this adjustment. Now, the story here, the story opens in Solomon's tents. And the Shulamite, she's really been taken captive by Solomon. And there she soliloquizes about her love. Now, the title is given first, The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now, the Shulamite, this girl that we'll call the Shulamite all the way through, because that's what she's called in Scripture. That's what we'll find later on. The Shulamite speaks first. And she's just rather speaking to herself with others around. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. She speaks as though she were speaking to him. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. They all loved this shepherd, but he loved only this one. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. That's her words. Now the daughters of Jerusalem speak. They're the group that will be here quite regularly. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love of thee. These daughters of Jerusalem praise her for her steadfastness. Now the Shulamite speaks again. She says, I am black. That is, I am swarthy. But I'm beautiful, comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. And these would be the ladies of Solomon's court. I should have explained that when I dealt with the fourth verse. But these daughters of Jerusalem would be the ladies of Solomon's court. As the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black. And she tells how she got the way. Because the sun hath looked upon me. Now this is the Shulamite speaking. The sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. That was her brothers. And they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. Not able to be in contact with her beloved shepherd, who was looking after the sheep in another place. Neither able to look after her person, so she had become so tan that she was quite dark. Mine own vineyard I have not kept. And says, tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, she's speaking to the shepherd, where thou feedest, where you make your flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now the daughters of Jerusalem speak, probably somewhat ironically, if you know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. The little goats, the kids. Now Solomon enters. He comes in where these daughters of Jerusalem and the Shulamite are together. He says, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely, beautiful with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. The daughters of Jerusalem speak up to help Solomon along. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Now this next scene takes place in the royal tents. And the Shulamite is actually speaking to her beloved shepherd. She says, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. This bundle of myrrh, she says, it shall lie all night betwixt my breast. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. The shepherd speaks here, beginning with verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. The Shulamite answers and says, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. She goes on, the Shulamite is speaking, I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. Now the shepherd answers and says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He saw all the daughters of Jerusalem, the ladies of Solomon's court, and he says, you're like a lily among thorn bushes. So is my love among the daughters. Now the Shulamite speaks, and as the apple tree among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. In other words, what she says, I'm lovesick. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the fields, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. He is worn out. He is sleeping. Now, the Shulamite speaks to the court ladies, these daughters of Jerusalem, the women of Solomon's court. And this is what she says. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. That's the deer, of course. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The turtle is the same as our turtle dove, and they just called it the turtle. Why they called it that, I do not know, but it is the same as our turtle dove. And anyone who thinks that the Bible here speaks of turtles having a voice when they do not have it, they think the Bible is wrong. No, it's the turtle dove. It's heard in the land. The spring is there. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now this is the Shulamite speaking it. O, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Now the Shulamite in verse 15 is apparently quoting her brother. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. But she answers and says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth, that is, he's grazing his sheep among the lilies, until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Turn and come to me, I say. She says, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and would not let him go, until I brought him again into my mother's house, and the chamber of her that conceived me, the room of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, until he please. Now, here the Shulamite speaks. No, pardon me. What we get now here is the procession to Solomon's court to Jerusalem. He's proceeding to Jerusalem. And the first inhabitant speaks, inhabitant of Jerusalem, says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Verse 7, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, the valiant of Israel. Now the second inhabitant says, they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. The second inhabitant speaks again and says, third inhabitant speaks, I mean, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst of it being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Now the fourth inhabitant speaks, Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of heart. But now the shepherd appears, the shepherd speaks, and he says, he's speaking, of course, to his beloved Shulamite, and he says, Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. You have dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up in the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely, it's beautiful. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower David builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Now the Shulamite answers, Until the day breaks, and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountains of myrrh, and to the hill of frank incense. The shepherd speaks, and the shepherd says, Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of lepers. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister. Now this is, the word sister here has a real delicate significance. Indicates all the purity and the midst of the love aglow, but it's unspeakably holy. No sin here. He says, we go on. He says, my sister, but my spouse, thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. The smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard with saffron, calamus and cinnamon, and all trees of frank incense, myrrh and aloes with all chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Speaks of spices flowing out of a garden. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now, in the very middle of the verse there, the Shulamite breaks in, starts to speaking. She says, Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And the shepherd says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Now the daughters of Jerusalem speak and says, Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And the Shulamite says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. She's relating a dream. While she slept, her heart was awake. And she heard the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my innermost parts were moved for him. Of course, the hole of the door, you brought the latch string inside. If the latch string was out, you were welcome to come in. If it was inside, you had to reach in and open the latch, and that's all the lock that it was. She says, I rose up to my beloved. And this is the Shulamite speaking. My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Over to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called me, but he gave me no answer. She was dreaming. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. That was a gross insult, but this all happened in a dream as she was having. She says, I charge you, O daughter Jerusalem, that if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am lovesick. Now the daughters of Jerusalem speak. See, they're brought in here at the 8th verse where she speaks directly to them. Then in the 9th they speak. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And the Shulamite answers, she's speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. By the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Well, the daughters of Jerusalem answer in the first verse of the 6th chapter. And they say, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? Now the Shulamite speaks and says, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I belong to him, he belongs to me. He feedeth among the lilies. But Solomon comes in, and Solomon speaks, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. The word terrible there really means impressive. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washings, whereof every one beareth twins, and there's not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and her concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army of banners? Now the Shulamite speaks. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Now Solomon speaks and says, "Return, return, O Shulamite. Return that we may look upon thee." The Shulamite answers, "What will ye see in the Shulamite?" And Solomon speaks, "As it were the company of two armies. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon, by the gate of Bath-Rabbim. Thy nose as the tar of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights! This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. And also thy breast shall be as clusters of vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, the roof of thy mouth like the best wine from my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak." Now the bride speaks. She answers Solomon, "I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early in the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves, thy loves. Thy mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Oh, that thou wert my brother, that sucked the breast of my mothers. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I would not be despised. I would lead thee, I would bring thee to my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, his right hand should embrace me." She says, "I charge you, O daughter of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, unless he speaks." Now her companion speaks. The people going together here, a few together, says, "Who is this that cometh up in the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" The Shulamite speaks, "I raised thee up under the apple tree. There my mother brought her forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned, held in contempt." One brother speaks, "But this is something he said in the past. We have a little sister. She hath no breast. She's not marriageable. What shall we do for our sister in the day that she will be spoken for?" Now the second brother speaks, "If she be a wall, that is, that shut out everyone, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, access to all, we will enclose her with boards of cedar." The bride speaks, not the bride, but the Shulamite. She is the bride. "I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers, for that which was spoken when she was a child, we're now up in the present to these people. I am a wall, and my breast are like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. We read that Solomon had a vineyard at Baal-Hamon. He let out the vineyards unto keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard which is mine is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. That's the Shulamite speaking, the shepherd speaks. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. The Shulamite speaks and says, make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Now, what is the lesson in this? And what do we find in this as a lesson for ourselves? Well, when the Shulamite speaks there in verse 14, and Solomon hears it, and before all she announces and avows him as her beloved, bidding him always hasten to her like a gazelle, see, one that boundeth over the mountains of spices, Basaman, the mountains of spices, and no longer will it be over the mountains of separation as we had it back in chapter 2 and verse 17. Now from the Companion Bible, E.W. Bullinger has this statement that he makes, and I want to turn to it, give me just a moment here till I get the exact place. Bullinger makes the statement that while it's merely an interpretation that's set forth, but the application of it, when we apply it, it's an incentive to loyalty and fidelity to the one who loved us and gave himself for us, and to stand fast in our love and loyalty to him in the face of the fiercest temptations and the severest trials. Like we have it in the words, be thou faithful unto death, are the words to him that overcometh. And all of the words of encouragement that we are given to stand fast in the truth and to hold to the word of the living God. But that gives you an idea of what the Song of Solomon is about. I hardly dared to take time and try to translate and to explain everything. I just ask you, as again Dr. Bullinger says, it's most ancient times this book has formed a part of the Hebrew canonical scriptures. It's a poem based on the true facts of a story, and the story unfolds itself as it proceeds. Various interpretations have been given of it, the literal, the allegorical, and the typical. The allegoricals embrace Jehovah and Israel. That was the view of the Jewish commentators. The Roman Catholic commentators, they view it as the Virgin Mary. And the Protestant commentators view it as Christ and his church. Now, this allegorical view, which makes it to mean Christ and his church, Bullinger says that this puts the coarse flatteries and language of a seducer, which Solomon was, into the lips of Christ, which would certainly be inconsistent with Christ's dignity and holiness. In other words, he says that to treat it that way and make this to be Christ and his church, it's the language of seduction put in the mouth of him who, when he spake never as man spake. He did not speak as a man speaks. So be careful about putting the words of Solomon into the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is a rather quick look at the Song of Solomon. I trust it will be helpful to you in the reading of it. And at least we've gone through it given due attention to the word of the living God. So remember, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. And to all of you I say, the words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And may I also add in the words of Artaxerxes to Ezra, perfect peace to you, and at such a time. So I bid you goodbye till we meet again around the pages of God's book. Yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.